I read a story some time ago about in the old country when they was at running marathons, that to make sure, kind of sounds like a presidential race, doesn't it? To make sure that their winner would get the prize, they would have real pretty girls standing all along the pathway handing out gold bars to those that they wanted to get weighted down. How many knows a gold bar would be attractive? Go on. How many knows a gold bar would be attractive? And enough of them in your pocket's going to slow you down. And it's not worth losing the race over a gold bar. Hello? Unfortunately, the sad thing, there's a lot of things in life that the devil offers us that's a lot less valuable than a gold bar, but we still have a tendency to stop and see what's going on. Hello? So I come to you today to give you a message that God's laid upon my heart that has something to do with a message that I preached a couple, 3 years ago about indecisiveness. How many's ever been going down the road and there'd be a little squirrel around in front of you and he went back and forth 10 times before he decided which way to go, and by that time he become a buzzard supper? It's indecisiveness. Well, we got to have our mind made up on what we're doing, which way we're going. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. And I apologize, it's not as cool in here as it should be, but this air conditioner on this side went out and they couldn't get the parts and they're supposed to fix it tomorrow, but I turned this side way down, we got the fans on. So pardon us if it's not as comfortable as it should be, but I'll try to preach hard enough to give you a breeze from heaven. All right. So in Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, very familiar passage of scripture and story that we have heard, read, preached 100 times or more. Now it came to pass, somebody say it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, speaking of Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Notice who done the receiving. Martha received Jesus into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Listen to me, young people. It's good for you in the long haul, okay? But Martha was cumbered about. Somebody say, cumbered about. With much serving. And came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she will come and help me. Tell her to quit sitting around and come and help me get things together. I'm sure that Mary and Martha, with Jesus coming into the house, had a lot of company, don't you? Hello? And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. That would be like your parents calling you your first and last name. When mom or dad said Michael Bryan, I knew it was serious. Anybody with me? So Jesus was doing the same thing. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The key word here that I want to focus, like indecisive, is cumbered or encumbered. How many knows what encumbered means? Okay, I'm going to give you a history or English lesson here and a little bit of history as well. Encumbered means to be weighted down, to be burdened, as to carry such heavy luggage, to impede or to hamper. Somebody stay with me. You need to know all this before I go on. To impede or to hamper the function or activity that you're trying to do. to hinder, to encumber by a lack of trust, to restrict a path or a space, to have a burden with a legal claim, such as a mortgage or a car payment, encumbered an estate. The synonyms for encumber, listen and see if you have any of these attached to your spiritual life this morning, or even your physical life. That they are the synonyms of encumber. Again, see if there's any of these that you have attached to your spiritual or physical life today. It's to clog, to cramp, even to embarrass, to fetter or hamper, to handcuff or handicap, to hinder or hobble, to hogtie or hold back, to hold up, to impede or to inhibit, to interfere with. Mantler, which means to chain or shackle someone's hands or feet, to obstruct or shackle, to even to short circuit. How many ever felt like you've been short circuited? To tie up, to tremble, to restrict someone's freedom. In the old French, the root word for cumber meant to defensively obstruct or form such as a fallen tree, and the limbs that are stretched towards you would be sharpened to hinder you from getting through. That was the fact of the matter, and the root word of that enemy, or the enemy facing you with a tree that has fallen with sharp branches so that you cannot proceed. And later on, that French word means to refer to a barrier, to like a dam or building up or constructing in a bed of a river to hold back the fish, to protect the banks. This notion of holding back is what informs the verb of encumber. And one can physically encumber as by a heavy load or severe weather. Don't write me off yet. Don't fall asleep. I'm going somewhere, okay? I think you're going to like this. How many wants freedom to serve God? I said, how many wants freedom to serve God? How many wants freedom to do what God tells you and wants you to do in this last days? Encumber, such as a heavy load or severe weather, figuratively, bureaucratic restrictions, also giving us the objection with both awkward or difficult to handle. There's times in life that things come into our existence or come into our house or come into our life that inhibits us from doing what we need to do, and it's difficult to handle. We face death sometimes, and it's difficult to handle, and the burden of that, the encumbersome of that, it overwhelms us. There's certain times in our life that we are hit with financial things, that an air conditioner that goes out when it's 101, a refrigerator that breaks down, and in that kind of temperature, we're encumbered with things that are difficult to handle in such a time, especially when the bank account is nearing zero. Are you with me? So, with all of those definitions being said, I ask you a vitally important question today. What has encumbered your life? How has your life become encumbered with the affairs of things that's going on? Won't somebody preach with me? I was gone last week. I need a little encouragement today. Hello? I assure you, I'm glad to be in God's house today, but if I went by feelings, I'd still be home in bed. I'm telling you. Hello? But I'm glad when they said it's time to go to the house of the Lord. I am not restricted by how my body feels, but I am liberated by what my spirit says. Hello? So can I ask you, what are we encumbered by? What has attacked our life? What has attacked us physically? What has come into our home that has encumbered us? from being liberated and free to do what we need to do. If Jesus was so stressed, and as he stressed the fact, he stressed the fact that Martha was troubled and encumbered about many things. Mary had chosen what was really important. Somebody say, really important. And emphasized that Mary would not be refused the opportunity that she chose to sit at Jesus' feet. Jesus said, to you, Martha, you're stressed about the wrong things. So if what Mary was doing was that important, and would she not be denied that blessing, could Martha be denied the blessing because with her relationship with Jesus Christ, because she was encumbered about material things? You missed that. If it was important enough, Brother Steve, for Mary, Jesus said, you will not be removed from your reward because you chose to sit at my feet. And he looked at Martha and said, you have chosen things that was not that really important. If Mary will not be refused a blessing because Martha chose to be encumbered by other things, will she refuse to get a blessing? Hello? Just come by to tell you today that life will encumber us with so many things that it will weigh us down, and we will miss the blessing of sitting at Jesus' feet. How many has got up in the morning and you made up your mind you was going to spend time in the Word and praying, and the first thing the phone rang, and then something else happened, and then you had to get in the shower and get ready for work, and before you knew it, it was bedtime that evening and you hadn't had time to spend time with Jesus at His feet because you was cumbered about with all these other things. Come on, folks. Come on. We all know that there's circumstances in our life that will distract us and will pull us away from sitting at Jesus' feet. So there are so many things in our life that will entangle us with all the different words that I read to you that are attached to being encumbered or encumbered. We could very easily miss the good part. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss the good part. Jesus told Martha that she was too cumbered, but her sister had come to know the important things in life. And how many knows that as life moves on, as we get a little older, it seems like that instead of relaxing a little bit, things get a little busier and things get a little bit more complicated. If you haven't figured that out yet, you will. You will. Mary had figured out the important things of life, and that was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to His words and learning His ways and learning His love. If you don't think I really know what I'm talking about today, let me give you a few of biblical examples that perhaps that you've overlooked and you thought, well, that's just a story in the Bible. But we find out in the book of Numbers chapter 20 concerning Moses. He had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage and brought them into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, they could have took a shortcut if they had just trusted God and already been in the promised land. But they decided to gripe and grumble and complain. Does anybody gripe and grumble and complain that's in the house today? Sorry about that. I tricked you, didn't I? How many knows people that gripe and complain? Well, these people that God had promised the promised land, God had promised cities that they didn't build, vineyards that they didn't plant, and yet they got out there to a certain place in the wilderness of Zin, and they suddenly realized that they was out of water for themselves, and they was out of water for their stock. And in Numbers chapter 20, verse number 2, it says, and there was no water for the community. And the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. And in verse number 3, it said, and they quarreled with Moses. You ever met anybody who had a quarreling spirit? In Arkansas language, that's arguing. Okay? They had a quarrelsome spirit. If only, they said, we had died with our brothers before the Lord. If only we had died, simply because God had taken care of them all this way, and now there was no water. And all of a sudden, they begin to grumble and complain, and they begin to argue, and they begin to fuss and fight. And so Moses was kind of overwhelmed with the circumstance. You might say he was encumbered by their argumentative ways and by their grumbling and complaining. I'm here to tell you, in our world today, it would be easy to be overcome by the whining of the world. So Moses and Aaron went into the tent and began to seek God's face as they fell down on their face and began to seek God. The Lord told Moses, said, get up off you and get on your feet, take your staff that I've given you, and go out and speak to the rock. Okay, here's where we are. God gives us a command, but we are so encumbered by the load around us and on us. Is anybody hearing me today? You know, I may not name what's encumbered you, but I give you a lot of definitions that can distract you, can take you off the path that you need to be focusing on. God gave Moses specific instructions to speak to the rock, and water will come forth that will water the people and will water their stock, and everything's going to be all right. But as Moses went out to that place, to the rock, he was so encumbered, he was so upset, he was so tangled up, he was so hindered and handicapped by what was in his head and the words that just kept ringing in his head. He was so frustrated. Anybody ever been frustrated? I don't know, under the circumstances, he may have just been mad. Anybody ever just been mad? And instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock with his staff twice. I would say he was upset, wouldn't you? I would say he was encumbered by the whiny voices of those around about him and those he was trying to get to the promised land. Don't preach me. Don't chat me down while I'm preaching good, okay? Okay, you might have been guilty of this, but Don't hide behind the pew, or I'll think you're guilty for sure. Encumbered by all the voices. Encumbered. Handicapped by all the circumstances of people accusing him of bringing us out. Well, my Moses, we could have had leeks and garlic and wild onions and all that kind of stuff if we'd have just stayed back home. But now we've got to be without water. But as he smote the rock twice, God still honored. Listen to me. God still honored. But he told Moses, because you didn't do what I said, you'll not go over to the promised land that I told you you could have. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching good this morning. I'm trying to tell you, we cannot allow ourselves to become encumbered by the things around about us, whether it's whining, griping, the load that we carry or the responsibility. But circumstances, if we're not aware of what's going on. And I feel very confident as God began to give me this message that most of us are not aware that the circumstances of being encumbered by the things of this life can keep us from receiving the blessings that God has for us. Because you did not trust me. See, the circumstances of trust means a whole lot, but when we are encumbered or we're overtaken by those things around about us that make our soul heavy, make our spirit heavy, make our conscience to where we can't think straight. Come on, somebody hear me this morning. Circumstances that make us heavy with the burden of life, and it encumbers us, it keeps us from thinking rationally and doing the right thing. Listen, Moses had been promised a land that had everything because he was encumbered with so much responsibility and listening to all the whining and all the complaining. Listen, he reacted to the chatter of the people instead of responding to the voice of God. Hello? Same as it is in school, kids. All those that try to make fun of you and try to bully you, do not let them encumber your relationship with Jesus Christ. We cannot react to the chatter of those around about us. Instead, we must respond to the voice of God. Can I tell you today, can somebody in this house agree with me? If Moses had refused to listen to the chatter and chosen to listen and respond to the voice of God, he would have been the first one over into the promised land. Listen. Maybe you haven't noticed that people can get on your nerves. I can say that because I am a people. And there's times I get on my own nerves. Anybody ever get on your own nerves? It's a bad place to be. I'm telling you. When our grandkids was little, maybe I've told you this story before. Cameron's probably glad she's upstairs. But our grandkids was little. I was trying to do something. I was trying to concentrate in the house. And they was running around like Comanche Indians. How many's ever had grandkids to do that? That's okay, but sometimes it gets on your nerves. Yeah. If you haven't had kids and grandkids, you don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I told Trey and Cameron, I said, would you kids please, please calm down. You're getting on my last nerve. Mr. Diane was in the kitchen, and Cameron walked into the kitchen and said, Nana, what does getting on your last nerve mean? How many knows what I mean? Yeah. Every time I drive down 412, there's somebody gets on my last nerve. But I'm here to tell you the circumstances of our life will get us on our last nerve, and we can't hear from God from all the chatter and things getting on our last nerve. That's called being encumbered with the affairs of life. And we react to the chatter instead of responding. Man, I'll tell you what, that's good stuff. Instead of responding to the Word of God. I didn't read that out of a book. God, give me that for you this morning. We cannot react to the chatter of the world, but we must listen intently and react and respond to the voice of God. That's the key to our successful spiritual life, is when we respond to the voice of God. That the reaction in our society, in our world, just like right now with our moral conscience and what we know is right and what's being shoved down our throat by the world society and the democracy that has gone to pot. Can I tell you, it's easy to get off focus. It's easy to become distracted on what is less important instead of what's real important. Today, church, there's much chatter in our world and so many opinions that seem to be floating around, but we can become so distracted that it will hinder us, it will hold us back, it will handicap us from taking the time to sit at Jesus' feet. We must stay focused on what's the main thing. Look at your neighbor and say, you have to make the main thing the main thing. We'll take the time. Look at your neighbor and say, you've got to make the main thing the main thing. And I can tell you as a matter of fact that from where we're sitting and where we are in the world today, the nearness of Christ's return, we better make Jesus the main thing. I'm here to tell you there's a lot of things that are on your last nerve right now, while you're sitting here right now. In the last few hours, the last few days, things have got on your nerves that's absolutely turned you inside out and upside down. And when eternity comes, they ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. And you know what? The only thing that they're doing right now is distracting you and encumbering you with a heavy load that ain't yours to carry. We can become so encumbered by the noise of this world, we will miss the most important thing in our life, and that's to hear the trumpet sound. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1, Paul says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Don't allow yourself to be encumbered by the frivolous things of this world. Somebody say frivolous things. Even in the spiritual side of things, we can get sidetracked, off focus, and blinded by what should be important. This is my favorite illustration of being encumbered by the things of this world. And you're going to like this. It probably ain't going to sit well with your spirit man, but you're going to like it, and hopefully it'll help you. But there was a man by the name of Jonah. How many remembers Jonah? You kids remember Jonah? How many knows he had issues? No. How many knows Jonah had issues, and it was more than the fish? It was more than the fish. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 17. Remember a week before last when I preached to you that God already knows? Before your heart is allowed to be broken, God already knows that He has prepared a way for you. Well, God already knows. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, "But as the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights." Now, that's not the end of Jonah's story, and we pretty much know what happened and how he got swallowed up and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes we kind of overlook Jonah's issues. You see, Jonah, don't go to sleep on me, this is the most important part, okay? Jonah had some internal spiritual issues. He was displeased. He became angry with God because God was going to destroy Nineveh, but because of their repentance, God restored them and had mercy and compassion on them. Jonah even said, "That's why I ran off to Tarshish, because I knew that you was gracious and compassionate, God. You were slow to anger, and you abound in love." And God, who relented from sending, he relented from sending calamity. "Now, Lord, because you've done what you've done, you got on my last nerve, just go ahead and kill me. I'm ready to die." That's what he said. "It's better for me to die than to live." And in chapter 4, verse 4, if we would stop and listen to God so many times when we get ourselves in that predicament, how many's ever been in that predicament? Not necessarily mad at God because He didn't do what you wanted to do, but just encumbered about with stuff and you was upset at the world. If you would stop and listen, you would hear the same question God asking you as He asked Jonah. Do you really have a right to be angry? Isn't that an eye-opener? Do you really have a right to be mad? Do you really have a right to be upset? I was going to destroy these people, but they repented, and they come to me and repented, and I have mercy on them. So do you really have a right? And I'm about to preach here in a minute, okay? So hang on. Well, Jonah was still so upset that he went to the east side of the city, found himself all alone, found him a shade, made him a shade, and as he sat there in the shade, feeling all sorry for himself because his agenda was more important than God's agenda. Hello. Uh-oh. And so he was there all by himself out on the east side of the city, and he was in quandary with himself. This is a time when he was on his last nerve. There wasn't nobody else around, so he couldn't really blame anybody else. Hello? And God had a vine to grow up overnight, and it was so massive that it covered and shaded him. And he was relaxed. He was happy. But the next morning he woke up and a worm had come and gnawed it away into such a way that it withered and died. That would just about cumber anybody, wouldn't it? For only one day I had shade. Especially right now. If you had to be outside and one day you had shade and the next morning you woke up and a worm had just destroyed your shade, I'm telling you, that worm would have been on your last nerve. I went out yesterday evening and checked my tomato plants, and those big fat green worms had already been gnawing on them. So I went in and got me some 7-Dust, and I said, I'll get on your last nerve. So we know the story of how that worm had eaten through that vine and it had withered. And Jonah was all in despair again. He was all upset again. He had become encumbered by what he could not control. Hello? How many of you have ever been encumbered by what you couldn't control? And it just freaked you out. Left you in a bundle of nerves. I'm here to tell you, God can take care of it better than you can. And he was all flustered again, and God came to him and said, do you really have a right to be angry? Well, isn't that a sobering thought? God came to him and said, you really got a right to be mad? I had this vine to grow up and to give you shade. And here you are griping because you only had it for one day. My mercy and my grace. Okay, I'm getting ready to preach. You with me? He said, do you really have a right to be angry about the vine? Verse number 10 of chapter 4 said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprung up overnight and died overnight. Verse 11. Anybody listening? But Nineveh had more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about this great city? Are you ready? Jonah was so absorbed with his own agenda, and he thought his views would supersede the plan of God. Hello? If you don't amen me, I think you're guilty. Jonah was so absorbed with his own agenda, he thought his view of things would supersede the will and the plan of God. I'm here to tell you, I'm preaching to you this morning. Jonah became so encumbered by his own agenda and was captured by his own emotions and his anger. He became so handicapped by his feelings that he totally missed the mercy and the grace of God. Thinking more of his comfort from the shade of the vine and its survival than he did about the 1,000 citizens of Nineveh. We so often are so absorbed and encumbered by the things of our life and what we want and what we think and what we feel like, that we miss the point of God's mercy and grace being extended. So I ask you today, how can anyone be so encumbered by their own emotions that they lose sight of God's plan? How can we become so short-circuited with what we want rather than what's best for the majority? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20 says, "For if after that we had escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse than the beginning." We must accept and stay free in the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who the Son is set free, He is free indeed. Amen. Amen. So, let me conclude my message, and I will be as soon as I'm finished. Take a look at Elijah's servant. Here's something that I wish the church was full today, because I have heard this word so many, many, many times, and I have experienced, and I know others have experienced, and I know others are dealing with it right now. But Elisha's servant, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, it says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him," Elisha's servant said unto him, "Master, how in the world, what are we going to do?" And he answered, "Fear not." So we realize that the servant of Elisha was encumbered by fear, and it encumbered his fear. He was encumbered by fear so much that it obstructed his vision. Somebody ain't preaching with me this morning. I mean, fear will strangle you. Fear will inhibit your ability to even move. Or if you suddenly come upon a bear, it will inhibit you to move in the wrong direction faster than you ever imagined. You missed it. You missed it. If anyone would like a definition of that later, I'm not telling you. Anybody listen to me? How many has ever been so overcome by fear that you froze in your tracks? You had the hair stand up on the back of your neck. That's what fear does. And fear, it is so grabbed a hold of Elisha's servant that it obstructed his vision. And he said, "Elijah, what are we going to do?" And Elisha said, "Fear not. For they that be with us are more than is against us." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray that you open his eyes that he may see." You know what he was really praying? Lord, calm the fear in his life. Speak peace to his spirit man. Speak peace to his spirit man so that he is able to see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire about Elisha. And there was horses and chariots of fire that was on Elisha's side. So there's more for us than there is against us. Elisha's servant had become so handicapped with fear, and his fear put him in chains and restricted him from feeling the freedom that he had, that there was more for him than there was against us. He was hogtied. He was unable to move. His muscles was all cramped up. Is that not the definition of encumbered? He was encumbered with such fear that it took not only his ability to see, but it interfered with his ability to fight. Hello? Am I preaching good yet? Yeah. that fear encumbered him so much that it took his ability to see who was on his side, and it literally froze him and interfered with his ability to fight. I'm here to tell you, you know what I'm talking about today. When fear gets a hold of you, you want to find a hole and crawl in it. You don't feel like fighting. You don't feel like doing anything. You are encumbered by that. He could not see the innumerable host that was on his side. John, 1 John 4 and 4. Greater is he that's within us than he is in the world. I'm hurrying. I'm almost through. All that's finishing. One more. Ananias and Sapphira. We don't like to talk about them. But if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul, what does it profit a man? There was a man by the name of Ananias, his wife Sapphira, that had sold a piece of land, sold some of their possession. I'll get it right here in a minute. And they went to church to pay their tithes, but they didn't pay the right because they wanted to keep back a part of what was theirs. Peter told them, said, look, it was all yours anyway. You can do what you want to. But because you were so encumbered by your own greed, it has cost you your life and you lied to the Holy Ghost. That was in short. They were so encumbered by their own greed, and it had so shackled them that it caused them to lie to the Holy Ghost. Hang on, I'm almost finished. They were so tied together themselves. Are you listening to me? Is anybody listening to me this morning? They were so tied together that it interfered with their rationale to make the right decision. They come together. They came in at separate times telling the same lie because they had conspired together. That's what being encumbered by your own desires and greeds will cost you. So I tell you today, be careful before you come into agreement with anyone that their motives are pure and biblically right. Being sincere can be a detriment. Being encumbered with wrong motives and intentions will impede, will hinder, will hamper the functions or activities of doing what is right and making one sincerely wrong. You can be as sincere as you want to and be sincerely wrong. That's why you got to stay close to Jesus. They were so encumbered by their own deceitfulness that they could not objectively deal with their personal duties and responsibilities. Solomon put it like this: stuff, things are full of vanity and vexation of the spirit. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 22 says, the evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him, and the cords of his sin hold him fast. That's being cumbered with these things. Chris, would you all come to the piano, please? Here's what we're up against, church. There are so many things that we can be encumbered by that will inhibit our work for God. It will obstruct our vision so that we can't see God's plan. It will shackle us and keep us from being free. Not only from receiving God's grace, but the ability of giving God's grace. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but there's a lot of people in our world today that you meet every day in businesses and stuff that desperately need your grace. Hello? They may not deserve it, but they need it. By their actions, they don't deserve it, but they need it. And if you're not in tune with God and have received His mercy and grace, you're not going to give His mercy and grace, because we're encumbered about whether we want it, and we want it now. How many stood at the microwave and wrung your hands because 1 minute was too long? Hey, I'm preaching to you this morning. I don't want you to be encumbered and miss heaven. I don't want you to be so encumbered with the things of this world that it has you restricted, and when the trumpet sounds, your luggage is way too heavy to get you out of this world. I love you. I appreciate you today. I want you to make heaven your home. I'm telling you, hey, I live in the same world you do. I have to fight the same stuff you fight. And there's times when I don't want to leave a tip, but I do it for a testimony of God's grace in my life. Hello? What I'm concerned with, if we're not careful, we'll become so weighted down with the world's stuff that it keeps us from making heaven. We become so weighted down with the cares of life that our luggage becomes too heavy to board our flight. Paul said to the Galatian church in chapter 5, verse 7, you did run well. What have you become encumbered with? I translated exactly what he was saying. You did run well, but you've been hindered. So what have you been encumbered with? What have you been encumbered with that you cannot obey the truth? Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, he gives us that same warning in a different context. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Why? So we can run the race. Told the Galatian church, you did run well. What's hindered you? What's keeping you from running well now? And now he's telling these Hebrews, he said, you've got to lay aside every weight and every sin, those things that have encumbered you, that's keeping you from running this race well. Being encumbered causes us to become ineffective in the race. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. If that's not talking about being cumbered by the things of this world, I don't know what it is. If anyone stayed focused on his purpose, if anyone did, Jesus did. He is our perfect example. Would you stand with me all over the building today?